I would like to introduce Jeff Tom to take it over to who is our serving as our governmental affairs director. He is kind enough, along with all of us here, to donate our time, his time. So I want to thank Jeff and give Jeff a round of a hand of applause and welcome Jeff so he can introduce everyone else.
Artis and Alice have given us permission to make fools of ourselves up here without them, which is good for them, perhaps, but not necessarily for us. So I'm going to tag team things with Regina. The first thing I wanted to mention is we are really blessed to have, hearkening back to the whole co-chair thing, our committee has a couple of great co-chairs in Artis and Alice, and I'll talk about one topic where they are especially impactful, and that is organizing and spearheading and helping to get an information. And Regina did it as well this time, helped in that regard. A lot of work she put in. The CCB's portion of the Capitol Hill visits for the ACB leadership conference or legislative seminar, or whatever you want to call it, and which is still ongoing. It takes so much time to get appointments anymore that I think probably the majority of us are still partway through our appointments. And so it'll linger into some time in April before we'll be all done. But there's over 20 people, I forget exactly how many, close to 25. That participated, and I want to thank, I don't have the list right here, and I'd skip somebody if I tried to, do it by memory, but I want to thank each and every one of you, and let's give them all a hand. Yeah, absolutely. Well, participating. And I'd encourage those of you who did not do so next year, it is a really, it's an important thing, but it's also extremely educational, and it can be a real learning experience for you. We team newbies, so to speak, or people who have not done it before, with those who have. And so you learn by doing, you gain confidence, you realize that these congressional staffers are, you know way more than they do about the things you're going to be talking to them about. And you become better advocates. So I encourage you, it really does take, I won't, try to sugarcoat it. If you don't have email, it's a little hard to do it, although it can be worked out. But if you are at all considering it, I would really urge you to try and do it, because the more teams we can put together, we have, two senators and 50. Two, I think we lost one, congresspersons. And the more teams we can put together, the easier it is for us to cover the whole state. So next year, if you are of a mind and you're thinking about it and you haven't done it before, or maybe you've been out of it and haven't done it for a year or two, we hope that you will join us next year in ACB's legislative seminar efforts. We cover a lot of interesting topics. This year it has been telecommunications, exercise and fitness, websites, and what was the fourth one? Somebody tell me. No, that was one of them. That's the medical devices, of course. Thank you very much. And so these are all important topics. So with that, I'm going to give it over to Regina for a couple of topics, and then I'll come back with a few.
Okay, so thank Joshua Saunders for helping me with SSI. He's been attending some of the meetings and keeping up with some things. I will tell you that they are ramping up their visits too. I've been getting to know some legislative aides, and some actually show up sometimes, the actual person themselves. But this is on the state level for the state assembly and the state senate, because we're trying to do several things. One that would be really interesting to all of you is the application process for both food stamps and, sorry, SNAP, SNAP and SSI. We want to make that truly accessible to people with all abilities, including people with, who are blind and low vision. And we actually are advancing that as one of our objectives this year. And we are also working on evening out some of the disparities when you have shared households. Because what happens is if you, even if they say you don't incur a cost, this like you have different household expenses, they're not treating it that way. And they're still counting the income of the person that you live with, even if that person isn't helping you financially. We're also trying to work on some of the regulatory sides of things, such as not counting food as resources. And that is actually a rule that's being written now because the coalition pushed for that, that in the state of California, they cannot count if someone gives you some food as income. And I think that is major because it when you're already on a low income, you know, someone helps you with food, that's something that's probably pretty necessary. So we're working on that and a few other technical regulations between Medi-Cal, Medicare, and dual eligibility, it's called. So that's stuff. We are also still shopping the drug resolution. And this year we got a lot of positive feedback, but no one's picked it up yet. Part of our challenge is fiscal because people are so afraid of proposing anything that might spend money. And we're telling them, you know, it's negligible to put together a task force. That's all we're asking is to work on it. And we're still working that. There's not a time limit on that. So we will be continuing to shop that. It can come to the floor at any time. It's not like bills. And the other thing that we are working on, so in nursing homes, it came to our attention through some recent studies on the national level, and they did it state by state, and we found out that in the state of California, up to 50% of people in nursing homes have some kind of significant vision loss, and surprise, surprise, they're not getting the services that they need to get. We have a lot of anecdotal stories about that. It's hard to get really hard data, except things like, you know, just a few things. So we put together a bill that would ask to be part of the incentive program. So what they do is they pay incentives for people that, or for skilled nursing facilities that comply with certain benchmarks. And the better you comply, the more incentive money you get. Well, we would like to be included in those incentives because we're not. And so we wrote this legislation, but the committee that hears this, that will be instrumental in pushing it through, has asked us to pause on that because they want us to try to go through the regular stakeholder process, which Jeff and I tried to do last year. And it's inaccessible. Like the platforms are inaccessible. They want to use these places to do public comment that we can't do independently. And so now I think the committee, we're holding the committee to, okay, well, not the committee, this the legislative aid that's helping us. We're holding that office to say, okay, you want us to go through this process. Let's do it together. And that's where we're at. So it's not done, but it may not happen this year the way we want it. So that's not encouraging news. But remember our scooter bill. How many years did it take? So we're not giving up. Here you go, Jeff.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Yes, Regina is learning more and more and, you know, taking over more of the load all the time. And pretty soon I can just Well, I was in Maui last week and I'm thinking of going over there permanently if I can figure out a way to cover the cost of doing it. There's got to be some politician I could, cozy up to. And okay, so anyway, turning back to scooters for a second, before I go on to this year, I just wanted to sort of echo what Gabe said. There's no way we would have passed the first state law in the country that requires renters of scooters to have insurance against negligence when pedestrians are injured, unless we had had all the incredible outpouring of letters and calls, etc., from those of you out there and you on Zoom. This organization, I've never really seen that level of letter writing for one bill in all the years I've been here. Maybe there has been, and maybe Mitch could show me an instance where there was, but I was just totally touched and flabbergasted by the work you did. And so give yourselves a second hand on that, because it was really exceptional. So this year, we had some issues with, we wrote in that bill some signage requirements that the scooter companies had to institute in order to have signage that would allow a person who is blind or who has low vision to know where to call in case of an accident. And the signage requirements, the way we wrote them, were a little bit difficult for the companies to actually begin to implement in terms of the way the scooters are shaped. So we're doing a bill this year in collaboration with some of the scooter companies to make it such that the signs will be able to be placed on the scooters, but will still have braille and tactile signage, have sufficient contrast, so that they will meet the needs of our users and yet be something that can be easily complied with by the industry. It's been tough work. I want to thank Gabe and Jean for the work they've put in on it. And it's going well. We think we're going to be able to get it through. But the insurance part is going to be implemented in July. And so you'll start to see, we had the woman just broke her wrist in the city last week because she was run down by a scooter on the sidewalk. And if it had been in July, she would have been able to get insured. Fortunately, it wasn't. So let me turn to education just briefly. We are in a sort of a debate. We passed a bill a couple of years ago about incorporating into the California Education Code some what is called the expanded core curriculum, which constitute various types of services that blind and low vision kids need through the classroom or an O&M environment because they can't learn it, like kids with sight do from their peers or their parents or whatever, like daily living skills, hygiene, sex education, social skills, different career development, different things. But it isn't, these things aren't required. So some districts allow teachers to teach them and put them into IEPs, and other districts don't. We were thinking of running a bill with the industry or with the special education field. The field is frankly a little worried about doing it, at least some people are, because of the increased workload which they feel will be placed upon the already overworked teachers. And that is a real concern. So, we're doing a few things at the next convention of the educators and teachers. We're gonna do it. It's not CCB, but another entity that we're associated with. We're gonna do a survey to get more information about the need for these services. But we also have to decide as an organization do if the field is not ready to embrace a bill to mandate these services in the education code? Do we want to go it alone? We may have to do that. We've given them sort of warning that we have to think about it. Not everybody in the field is opposed to our doing it, but it's something we have to think about. We don't want to alienate those who, you know, teach our kids, but we also know that we have our first concern is for the kids themselves. So something we're going to be talking about this summer and just have to make a decision during the fall. Yes, and now I'm getting to that. Perfect timing. Our final bill that we have this year, thanks to several folks, Margie and Susan Glass and Alice Turner and others, in Frank and others in Golden State Guide Dog Handlers, we came up with the idea of having an education campaign that would be implemented by the Department of Consumer Affairs in order to teach, most importantly, the business community about the problems that service animals have with other dogs, primarily, some of whom might even be service animals. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we have laws about attacks, but they don't really get enforced very well. In a state like California, you're not really going to increase the penalties more than they already are. So we felt an educational campaign would be the best way to move forward on this. We were then joined right off the bat, of course, by the National Federation of the Blind, California. And we turned to both Canine Companions and Guide Dogs of the Blind. And now it's sort of the bill is AB 1518 by Assemblywoman Friedman. And it's sort of a four-party sponsored bill among those four entities, i.e. ourselves, NFBC, and the two schools. And we sort of jointly meet and go over ideas and amendments. Regina has also been very helpful in that. We sort of work together. And we hope to get something done that will have a long-term impact on the business community of this state and really the general public at large. So I think that there's a lot of, I could talk about a lot of things that individuals in this organization are doing in a lot of areas, transportation and senior services, et cetera. But let me just say for now, I'll open it up for questions to Regina or myself, if there's time, Gabe.
I think we got a few minutes.
Okay.
Do we have any questions?
Yeah, I've got a couple.
Okay. And is there anybody on Zoom with a hand up?
Yes, we have one hand in Zoom.
Okay. So we'll
have
take two questions. We'll what's that?
Now we have two.
Okay. And so let's do these four questions, and then I think that's probably going to be about all we have time for. Did we get a mic to the first person here in the room?
Hi, this is really just a comment. It's Alice Turner. I think I want to applaud two significant actions that have been coming on within our organization and within the government and affairs. And then also, whoopsie, I don't know where the feedback is coming from. I just want to say that was not my comment. One is alliances. Jeff and Regina have been amazingly effective in choosing the right alliances to give us more power. Blindness is a low incident. And then the second thing is under Jeff's mentorship, Regina is a star at breaking down complex information into understandable bits. And I just have to say, for someone that I need that. I mean, I read that stuff and then I say, oh, please, Regina. And then I go back. So I just want to applaud the alliances and then making it something so everyone can have a conversation with anybody about our issues. Thank you.
Hey, Jeff, or Regina, I have a question about budget summaries from the governor. This is Lisa Cushman. Please don't yell at me. I had a question about budget summaries. I received a budget summary a few weeks ago from work that came from the governor's office. It was a PDF, and it was pretty inaccessible. Every you could technically read it with an insert down arrow, but it was spelling out every letter. So reading the document, as opposed to taking about maybe 30 minutes, took about an hour and a half. I mean, it seems like it would be a pretty fixable thing. Do you know how something like that would get remedied? Because I'm sure I'm not the only blind person who would be sent budget summaries to analyze.
So if you have that summary, I'd love to have you send it. And then if I can find the same issue that you did, which I probably can, then I can certainly try and forward it to somebody in the governor's office and let them know that there are some concerns that have to be met. So, and if you want to include the steps to take to fix that issue along with it, that'd be okay too. So yeah, whatever you can do, we're happy to follow up on it. Great.
Thanks, Lisa. And who is our first hand up on Zoom?
Sheila Gunn Cushman.
All right. Go ahead, Sheila.
Sheila Gunn Cushman. I have two issues that I think are right in line with what you guys are already doing, and I'd like to flag them and ask maybe if they can be worked on. The first one is that last January, not of this year, but of 2022, Medi-Cal started being able to pay for over-the-counter medicines. But making that happen in reality was a nightmare. And information about it was very sketchy and very confusing and very, anyway. And I would like to see some support brought in about Medi-Cal and making sure that folks on Medi-Cal get what they need, understand what's going on, have access to all the things that they are technically allowed to have as soon as possible. And an example of that is that my local Kaiser was delivering OTC meds, over-the-counter meds, to folks on Medi-Cal. They have stopped that. COVID is not over, despite the wishes of everybody in government and everywhere else for that matter, and we're still dealing with it. And quickly, the second thing is the CalWIN, my benefits, CalWIN. I think it's .org. I'm not looking at it. Is difficult. I know some folks who can figure it out, but I could not. I would like to see that be more accessible because I actually have to do some reporting and I don't know where to begin and how. I know I'm supposed to go to my county and all, and I can get it settled. But the point is, it's a hassle and we need to do better. And as to the Medi-Cal, I'd like to help and I don't know how. And I now work 37 and a half a week. So let's see what we can do. Thanks.
I'm gonna let, go ahead, you do it.
Okay, so is this on? No. Okay. First, that is part of what the SSI coalition is working on is applications. Okay, that's what I thought. I have the wireless. I'm trying to find the button.
It's
You're actually, I can hear you. And this is beyond applications, though. This is after applications.
Yeah, the room couldn't hear me. Sorry, Sheila. So that is part of the processes we are working on. We're starting with SNAP. We are also working on Social Security with the idea that we're going to move to the rest of it. And we are including website accessibility and applications.
Okay, so on the first issue, the Medi-Cal one, Sheila, I'm actually not really familiar with the issue. But if you send me a synopsis of what you just said, seems to be one of the good things that we have done is that we are the only blindness organization that is part of the California Coalition of Long-Term Services and Supports, which is a very large advocacy, not only advocacy groups, but groups, say, of physicians, nurses, you know, all of those professions. What type of organizations. And so I can take this around and try to find out more about it and see what is being done. Because really, I don't know about it myself, but we can look into it.
I think we had a couple of questions here in the room. I think we had one more question on Zoom, and then we're going to try to move on. Did we have one more hand up in Zoom?
They must have lowered their own hand because it's gone.
Well, in that case, let's go ahead and take this one hand here in the room and then we'll be done. Who is our mic runner here? Yeah, I think we had one hand. So, all right, Lisa, do you have your wheel up for a door prize?
So we are going to raffle off a $25 gift card. Door prize, what'd I say? A $25 door prize given by Bayview chapter. The winner is Aaron Espinoza. How about another one? Gabe? Another one? Okay. Let's do $25 to Applebee's given by the Fresno chapter. The winner is Maureen Schultz. Maureen and Aaron, if you're in the room, raise your hand and we'll have someone bring you your gift cards. Maureen or Aaron? No? Okay, I guess I'm going to take them home.
Okay. I'm having to try to do this holding a wireless mic and going over this. So, Did I blank out? Did we thank Jeff and Regina? I don't think we did. I think I got interrupted with the door plugs. Yes. Thank you, Jeff and Regina, for everything you do and for that report on filling us in here.